Opening your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Talking about the voice of wisdom and seeking wisdom. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. That was Proverbs 1:20. We'll come back to it again. Might as well just put your bookmark there in Proverbs because we're going to be back there a lot today. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher here tonight. We thank you that the anointing can teach every one of us, the anointed one that resides within us. We thank you for truth, for light, for transformation, for having our hearts fixed, trusting in the Lord, our hearts established in your Word. We thank you, Lord, as we look into the Word tonight, there's just so many things that you're going to reveal to each and every individual, exactly what they need to hear. It's not what I have to say, it's what you show them that they need to hear. So thank you that we will have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. We give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. You know, over the last few weeks, we've talked about taking heed and seeking the voice of God. And there's a number of scriptures that we've talked about in that context, 2 Peter chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1, and that in the last days God was speaking to the church through Jesus and then really through the Word. But also in times past, it said he spoke by the prophets. And so there's Old Testament scriptures and New Testament scriptures that fulfill the whole image or the whole picture of who Christ is and who God is to us today. Proverbs is one of those books that I always encourage people to read all the time. You know, people have always asked me sometimes, well, what do you do for a daily devotional? Well, I just have a number of different things that I read online. I get a number of different daily devotionals sent to me via email and so forth. And otherwise, when I can, and I don't always do it as faithfully as I do now. I used to do it all the time, different translations. Whatever the date was, that's the book of Proverbs I would read. I would always try to, because I believe wisdom is the principal thing. I believe more than anything else, it says to seek wisdom. And more than all the other things that I could get as a pastor, as a minister, as a father, as a husband, all the things that I have to walk through in life, I need the wisdom of God. Yeah. So do you. And there's no place better than the book of Proverbs as instructions, practical, everyday instructions that can help us in that. And so when it says wisdom cries out, she utters her voice in the streets. Wisdom is speaking. There's a voice of wisdom that is desiring to get a message across to us every single day. And I believe that, as Proverbs 8 says there, wisdom is speaking here. And we'll look at that in a minute. I love those who love me. Wisdom says that. Do you love wisdom? See, do you love it so much that you're going to seek after it? He says, those who seek me, wisdom, diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. See, a lot of times people are going, well, what do I need to do to prosper? What do I need to do to be promoted in my job? What do I need to do to get ahead in life? Get wisdom.
Amen.
More than anything else. Well, I'm going to go to this seminar and learn the 7 ways of salesmanship. That's great. But if you don't have the wisdom on how to use that, you're going to get in trouble. So turn over to Psalm 95 for a second. Because before we get into Proverbs, I want to lay out again and just hook back up to some of the things that we've been talking about, hearing the voice of God, seeking after the voice of God. There are so many voices in the world we talked about here recently. None are without significance. But we need to know the significant voices. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about. Learn the significant voices. And the voice of God's Word, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of wisdom is one of the most significant voices we need to learn to hear and to comprehend and get a hold of. Psalm 95, verse 7 says this, For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. The psalmist prophetically is saying something here, and he says it about an Old Testament event, the children of Israel provoking God because they didn't listen, they didn't obey, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, versus the New Testament, our desire to be obedient. And he says, if you're willing and obedient, what will happen? You'll eat the good of the land. And he says, I want you to understand, I want you to hear what God is saying today, if you will hear his voice. And then he warns us, don't harden your heart. Another translation puts it this way. The Lord is our God. We are his people, the sheep he takes care of in his own pasture. Listen to God's voice today. What? Today. So every day I have an opportunity to listen to God's voice. Every day when I get into the Word of God, his voice is speaking. Wisdom has an opportunity to speak to me. Today, he says, don't be stubborn, verse 8, and rebel as your ancestors did out in the desert. Now, I know that none of us in here are stubborn or rebellious because we're all just wonderful, mature Christians. But once in a while, we might trip up and just kind of get stubborn and rebellious and wanting to do our own thing. And he says, don't do that. Don't be like that. Because if you look at the consequences, it wasn't pretty. Back in Hebrews chapter 3, in the New Testament, it's interesting because three different times in the New Testament, it quotes this prophetic voice, this voice of wisdom from Psalm 95. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says this, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. He's saying, don't allow that to hit you now on this side of the cross. It was enough to talk about it in the Old Testament as an illustration. But now when he's speaking in the book of Hebrews, he's saying exactly the same thing to those Hebrew people who were converted over to Christianity, were receiving Christ as Messiah, speaking to us as Gentiles, if you're a Gentile. Either way, you're looking at it and saying, you know what? I need to hear his voice because otherwise I'm going to hear all these other things. And what's the opportunity I'm going to have? Is to harden my heart. He says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one guilty of provoking God because of my stubbornness, because of my attitude, because I have this idea that I think I know what's best for me. I have my own life mapped out and I haven't consulted him. Hello. A lot of humans do this, don't we? We get our own idea of how things should be, how what we want, the way we think life should be. And we start going after it. And then, we start asking God and praying for God to bless our ideas and our attitudes and our endeavors rather than going to him first and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Because if I do what God asked me to do, it's already blessed. Yeah. It's going to be blessed because that's what wisdom says. Riches and honors, enduring riches and righteousness will be with those who diligently seek his voice. So I'm looking at that in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8. Makes it very clear. You go on into Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. But exhort one another daily while it's still called today. He's still talking about today. The day, which is when? Everyone say today.
Today.
Today, you can hear God's voice. He says, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold, now notice that if we hold the beginning of our confidence, or we could say our faith, our assurance, steadfast unto the end. While it is said, and again he quotes Psalm 95, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now I think it's interesting, you get to chapter 4, and he says it again. Mm-hmm. He says, God's rest is there for people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. That's Hebrews 4, 6. But now listen to verse 7. This is the good news. So God set another time for entering his rest. Oh boy. Another time, huh? Yeah. And he says, and that time is today. Everyone say today.
Today.
Today's the day that we get to enter into his rest. See, we say, well, Israel could have entered into the rest of God, into that confidence and that promises of going into the promised land. But he says, today, if you'll hear his voice, if you'll not harden your heart through deceitfulness of sin, you put these three, four verses all together from different places, and it comes into a picture that says, today, the time today, is when it says, God has announced through David much later in the words already quoted, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, did you hear the difference? He said in that translation, actually it carries through in the original, it didn't say if, it said when. Isn't that interesting? He says, God's rest is there for the people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they had disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. And God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Now he's talking about whoever this writer of the Hebrews is. He already quoted it back in chapter 3. Now, of course, when it was written, there wasn't chapters and verses. And there was just paragraphs, right? So he's referring back to something he just said. A few paragraphs where he says, God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Already quoted. But now he's quoting it just a tad different. Now, some of your translations still have the word if. It can be translated either way in this particular passage. Some of these translations and more modern ones actually put the word when in there now. This particular one says, today when you hear his voice. Because it's talking about present tense. Today I have the opportunity to hear his voice. And when I hear his voice, there's going to be a benefit to it. Today when I hear his voice, I have to make a choice. I can enter into his rest, or I can say, you know, God, I'm going to do this on my own. I can figure this out without you. I can handle this challenge or this problem or this whatever it is. You just bless what I'm doing. Just bless what I'm doing, God. That's all I'm asking. Just bless what I'm doing. Now, don't harden your heart, it says. So by faith, we enter into his rest when we hear his voice today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, the voice of God, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of faith, however you want to put it. That faith starts to grow on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit there is to reveal those things to us. The Holy Spirit is that voice of wisdom. Of course, he's the one that inspired all the scriptures that we've talked about previously. So now turn back to Proverbs chapter 1 so we can get into where I want to go tonight. The other day I had a meeting in Wisconsin, and it was about an hour drive one way and back. And so when I know I've got an hour drive to something like that, I always make a decision, what am I going to listen to? Do I take a certain teaching with me or whatever? So this time I just felt prompted. I'm supposed to listen to the book of Proverbs all the way back. And so as I was listening to the book of Proverbs, again, out of a different particular translation, which is how I like to do it because it makes me think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you listen to the same thing in the same translation, your mind wanders. You stop listening because you know what's coming.
Yeah, that's right.
And you just kind of tune it out, and then you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about that. And boy, I saw that road sign 3 times already. You know, they really spent a lot of money advertising for that. Be honest, that's what happens when you're driving down the road for a long, you know, you get a road trip, and you just kind of, So I try to listen to something totally different that's going to make me engaged, keep my mind engaged, keep me thinking about it, and I actually try to say it over to myself and go, oh, okay, so Noah, that means this. Okay, and I personalize it and confess it. And all of a sudden, all these things that I hadn't thought about because I've been meditating on this message about hearing God's voice and the implications of it start jumping out at me. And then I was at my minister's pastor's prayer group the other day, and a bunch of things came up there, and it's just like, Lord, you're really trying to get some things across to me here, aren't you? I mean, there's just a lot of voices speaking to me. Am I paying attention? You know, I got to practice what I preach. So Proverbs chapter 1, let's look at verse 20 again. This is the New King James Version. Listen to what wisdom does. And if you think of wisdom as the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit as the voice of wisdom, they're almost really interchangeable. They're almost synonymous, if you can understand that. So it says here, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. See, they've just given wisdom a pronoun, a personalization. Wisdom is referred to in a feminine sense. Isn't that interesting? God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of wisdom, many times has a female side to it, a female gender attached to it. You know, in English, we don't have that. I took German when I was in high school. I had to take a couple years of German. And you had to learn which was masculine, which was feminine, which was neuter. Remember, you know that, how that goes. Die, der, und das, in case you needed to know that. And, you know, each one is different. For the man, it's der, and for the female, it's die, and for if it's neutral, it's das. But it just means the in English. It's like da. But in German, it's die, der, und das. You been der, die? Yeah, I've been there. Huh? Come on. I'm waking you all up. Huh?
It's all Greek to me.
It's all Greek to me. It's all Swedish to you, right? So, in this particular case, he's making a point. Verse 21, she, when it says she, I'm not talking about a woman. I'm talking about the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. And it's giving a personification so that we can understand something about this. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Now listen to what she says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and you know, and no one regarded, and because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, now there's some serious consequences he's about to go into because they've refused to listen to God's voice. And wisdom, the Holy Spirit, the voice of wisdom is speaking, saying, listen, I've given you every opportunity. Now listen to what the consequences are. Therefore, and what do we do when we see the word therefore? You see what it was, stop and see what it was there for. All that was going on before that, everything that, that the Holy Spirit just said is about to come to light. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own ways. Somebody stepped on their keys. And be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's sad that he has to go through all that stuff and kind of come back to one last sentence. And say, you know what? If you just listen to me, you'd be okay. You'd be secure. No evil would befall you. You know, I think sometimes people ask, why does this happen? Now, again, I'm going to encourage you when you hear someone say, well, you know, the Lord's doing this and the Lord's doing that because he's trying to teach me. He gave me a sickness to try to teach me, or he broke my leg so I would slow down because my life was just going too fast. I was doing this or I was doing that. You know, a lot of it, based on what I just read here, they're eating the fruit of what?
Foolishness.
Their own way. The foolishness of their own way. Has nothing to... You know, the Holy Spirit says, I'm backing off here. You're on your own. They're going to be filled to the full with their own fancies. I like that particular verse. They're filled with their fancies. All right? For the turning away of the simple will slay them. Now, this is a challenge right here. Now, I know the King James says the prosperity, but that's a kind of a misleading word there. It's actually the word complacency. The complacency of fools will destroy them. You know, many times when we get comfortable with something or we think we've got it all figured out, we just start to back off and we just don't press in anymore. We stop seeking diligently.
Yes. Yep.
And this is all about diligently seeking. Having it as a lifestyle, having it as a determination, having it as a way to press into the things of God. Do you need healing in your body? Press into it. Do you need a financial breakthrough? Press into the promises of God. Do you need soundness of mind in an area because your emotions are giving you a problem? Press into the things of God.
Yes.
That's where the answer is. The Holy Spirit has the answer. You know, and sometimes someone would read this and all they see is the negative. They say, well, you know what? He's not going to listen to me. I've called on him and he's not answering me. I'm seeking him and he's not finding me. Those are the consequences of the verses before. Therefore, he says, turn at my rebuke. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words made known to you. If you diligently seek, that's a promise. But then he warns you. But those that have called on me, he says, you've refused when I spoke to you. I've stretched out my hand, but you didn't regard it. You've disdained my counsel. You wouldn't listen to my correction, my instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It says when that truth comes to us, you know, we have an obligation to look and say, you know what, you're right. Holy Spirit, you're right. Jesus, you're right. I need to change this in my life. I've got to change this attitude. I'm too critical of everybody that I work with. I've always got an attitude about so-and-so in my family. No matter what they do, I'm nitpicky. I always find something wrong with them. Boy, you know, I just run down at the mouth at about so-and-so. And the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Speak life. Let your words be seasoned with grace. I think somebody just preached a series on that recently. Maybe we need to listen to it again. Check the website. He says, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. But what starts that out is, I want you to turn at my rebuke. See, we don't like the word rebuke. Yeah. I grew up in Christianity, and the only place I heard the rebuke is when people would rebuke the devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So that was rebuke. So I don't want to be the one being rebuked, because then maybe the devil's wrong me or something. But, you know, there's the word rebuke has more to do with Jesus rebuking us. When all that, it's not as strong and as powerful or derogatory as you might think. It means instruction. It means to correct. It means to give information so that we can make an adjustment in our life and be right and live right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not to hurt us. It's to help us.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is saying here through the voice of wisdom, it's calling out. Wisdom calls out. Wisdom raises her voice. Wisdom is going, hey, pay attention. And we're going, huh? I'm too busy. I got this going on. And I don't have time for that right now. Well, you know what? When you get sick or when you get broke or something else goes on, you're going to have time then.
That's right.
The problem is, by that time, many times, it's too late.
Right.
You know, one of the hardest things as a pastor when I have to sit down and talk with someone about just, why is this happening? I'm getting into the Word. But sometimes it's so far down the road, the hardness of heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Now we got to take some time to soften up that heart.
Yeah.
It takes a while to tear down that callous.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hardness, the callousness has already been so built up for that truth to get through, that truth to get through. Listen to what I'm saying. Because you can hear the truth and hear the truth and hear the truth. And all of a sudden, one of those times, finally, every time we hear that truth, it's like another taking a little more sandpaper to that callus, a little more sandpaper to that callus, a little more sandpaper to it, a little more sandpaper to it. And all of a sudden, one of those times, like, wow, it got through. And I've read that scripture 100 times, and I've never seen that before. That ever happened to you? Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, where's that been hiding all these years? Underneath that callus. God hasn't been hiding it from us. I'm going to say that again. God has not been hiding this truth from us.
Amen.
He's never withholding truth from us. It says right here that out on the street, out on the open square, crying out loud outside, hey, pay attention to me. Wisdom is trying to get our attention.
Amen.
And when we pay attention to wisdom, he'll pour out his spirit upon us. Make the words known to us. Don't refuse. Don't disregard. Don't disdain. Don't walk away. all he's warning us about is don't take a negative attitude. Don't dismiss it. We talked about that last week. Don't dismiss it. Don't delay when God speaks to you. Don't put it off. Because otherwise, you know what the wisdom is saying? You're so far down at that point. He says, you know, I always struggled at verse 26. I will laugh at your calamity. I just don't think that's God. I mean, I just think that's not the nature of God. God is love. But, you know, I had to sit there and think, okay, my Lord, now, you know, I've confessed my fault. I said, I meditate and I image this. I just try to see God the Father on the throne, Jesus sitting at his right hand. And then we do something really stupid. God the Father goes, did you see that? And the Holy Spirit goes, yeah. That's great. We're going to put that one on home video. I will laugh at your calamity. I think some of the things that we do tickle God more than we realize. I think he has some good chuckles up there about us. He looks at this. Turns. Look at that chucklehead down there. Yeah. You know, we need to call on him with a pure heart, not a hardened heart. We need to seek him diligently with a true heart, not a hardened heart. And when we do, I guarantee you, all the other promises of God are yes and amen. These do not contradict each other. One actually fulfills and complements the other. Therefore, verse 31, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to full with their own fancies. Sometimes we have to be honest and say, you know what? I'm reaping what I have sown. I have sown to the flesh, and of the flesh I'm reaping corruption. So stop sowing to the flesh. Stop. If you don't like what you're reaping, stop sowing it. If you don't like reaping criticism and strife at work, maybe you shouldn't sow any. Oh, I'm not? Really? Ask the Holy Spirit. Maybe he'll show you. And he actually might rebuke you in a gentle way, in a loving way. Go to chapter 2 now. He says, my son, my daughter, again, if, notice the word if, it's conditional upon our attitude, upon us receiving it, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her, again, her being what? Wisdom. Her, search for her as for hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. I believe that word knowledge there, I haven't had time to study this out completely into the Septuagint, the Greek version, but I would guarantee, I shouldn't say guarantee, I'm going to guess that it's probably epinosis instead of just the word gnosis. Because the word knowledge there means personal experiential knowledge, just a knowing. So it says in verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. You know, for the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about justice. People want justice. They think that things aren't fair, that justice has been misapplied or hasn't been equally distributed, whatever it might be. We want a movement of justice. You know, the best place to find justice is in the Word of God. The best place to understand justice is through the Word of the Holy Spirit, the righteous. When you understand righteousness and justice, equity, that would be fairness, then every good path will be opened up. Verse 10, and when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will then keep you, and it will deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Notice that. Nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. So you should walk in the ways of goodness, because why? You've been listening to the voice of wisdom. There's a very interesting thing here. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge, they go together. It's progressive. And I've taught on this many times over the years. Again, this is just a simplified way to think about it. So people just say, well, are all those words just mean the same? No, they don't. There's literally dozens and dozens of places in the Scripture where those three words are combined together. Proverbs 2, 1 through 20 there in verse 6. The Lord grants wisdom, and His word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. So, you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The simplest way to remember them, if I may help you with this. Again, this isn't a hard and fast rule. This is just a recommendation. It's a suggestion of a learning tool. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Understanding is the proper arrangement of those facts. Wisdom is the ability to properly execute and act on those facts. Does that help you? Because there's people who have knowledge of things, but they have no understanding what to do with it. Or if they do have some kind of warped misunderstanding, I was going to say misunderstanding, they'll use that knowledge or those facts wrong. They have no wisdom. But if I have wisdom, I can take the facts that God gives me, the truth that God gives me, the facts of the Word of God. Through understanding, I can arrange them properly, and I can then benefit from that truth. See, there's Christians that don't understand Scripture. They have certain facts. They'll have certain Scriptures. By His stripes you were healed. They'll have certain Scriptures on healing, for example. But because of understanding being misunderstood, they'll think that God's the one that's making them sick. See, that's not wisdom. That's foolishness. And you know what that means? They're going to eat the ways of their own thinking. And they're going to stay sick. In fact, they may even die of that sickness. They may glorify themselves in that sickness. That's not what he's talking about here. He says, you get the facts. What are those facts? Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, himself bore my infirmities. Matthew 8, 17. 1 Peter 2, 24. You've got all three put together. Those are facts. Understanding is, how do I arrange those? A promise, a fact, a future reality for me. Then wisdom is, I'm going to start to speak those things out about my life. I'm going to walk in those realities. I'm going to speak those things. Again, if you were in the equip class, you heard what Pastor Mary said. Those realities define who you are, not the sickness. Your identification is not with your natural man. It's with the finished work of Christ on the inside of you, the in Him realities. So when you look at those things, Exodus 31 talks about, I have filled this man with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. Daniel, there's another one, Exodus 35, 31. Daniel chapter 2, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Colossians 1, 9, familiar passage. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard it, have not ceased praying for you and asking to God to fill you with what? Knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, I want you to know the knowledge of His will, but then what are you going to do with it? I need spiritual wisdom and understanding to walk it out. It's not just having knowledge. I can have knowledge of something, but without understanding and the wisdom to what to do with it, it's not going to benefit me. Now, again, that's a simplified version of understanding those three words, because then you can get into discretion, you can get into other words that are out there, but it's a principle. I need to pull together the truth of God's Word. I need to arrange it in such a way that I know is scriptural and biblical and lines up with God's will and plan and purpose. And then I need to walk in it. That's the wisdom of God. How do I apply this? Now you come and you sit through a half an hour, an hour, two hours, 4 hours, whatever you're sitting here. And you go home with it. If you don't go home with the intention of getting hold of it, taking some notes or thinking about it or grabbing one point of it to say, that's the one I'm going to apply.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just coming and getting your head full of knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah. And it doesn't do you much good. Knowledge without action, faith without what?
Works.
Works is
dead.
I'll show you my faith by my works. Because my faith has been activated through the knowledge and understanding and wisdom that God has given me because I'm listening to the voice of the Spirit. I'm listening to the voice of wisdom. Knowledge is speaking. Understanding is speaking. Wisdom is speaking. And when I put those together, I'm going to have faith, confidence, assurance, as Romans 4 says, I'll be fully persuaded that what God has promised, God is able to perform. I don't have to perform it. It says God will perform it. So you go to Proverbs chapter 8. There's this contrast. Because in Proverbs 2, it talks about, other places, it talks about this woman. I think it's interesting because there's she, which is wisdom, and she, which is deception. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. This is the Amplified. Does not skillful and godly wisdom cry out? And understanding raise her voice in contrast to the loose woman. Now, the Amplified has that added to the verse that no one else has in their translation because it's implied by the context. It says here, godly wisdom will cry out. Understanding will raise her voice in contrast to the loose woman. What do you mean? Why does the Amplified put that in? You have to read the whole passage, that whole section. Again, take the numbers out and it makes sense. We're the ones that put the numbers in there. Man put those dividers in there, not God. So let's put it all together. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read through here. It says, listen as wisdom calls out. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance of the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud. I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. Again, who's speaking? Wisdom. Wisdom is saying, I'm calling to you, to all of you. I'm raising my voice to you. I want you to listen to me, hear and understand when I raise my voice. I am trying to get your attention. Verse 5 says it's something very similar to chapter 1. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Verse 6, listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wisdom is saying, you know what? I'm right. You want to argue with me?
Yeah.
I'm going to win. yeah. Everything I say is right. Now, that's not talking about your wife or your husband or your boss. Huh? He says here, everything I say is right, for I speak the truth, and I detest every kind of deception. My advice, verse 8, is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. Did you hear that? He says, wisdom, I have good judgment. In other words, I understand a few things. He says, I know where to discover knowledge. I know where those facts are. I know where the scripture is that you need to get a hold of. I know where the promise is right now that could turn your life around. But are you willing to seek me diligently? See, sometimes we're just so in this idea of, I got to get knowledge, I got to get knowledge, I got to get knowledge. Wisdom will actually bring you to the right knowledge. If you listen to the voice of wisdom, he's saying, I will bring you to the right knowledge. I trust in that all the time. And I believe that's what happened this week when I was believing God for, where am I going to go with this series? What is it that our people need to hear? And I would love to teach on some other things right now, honestly. I have some ideas where I'd like to go. And I have to submit myself to say, God, what do you want me to be sharing to the church? What is it? What words? What series? What is it that you want me to be? And I can't get off of this. And he brings me to these things. Then I have a responsibility to obey. Boy, there's a lot of things I'd love to teach. I believe that when we get to heaven, I can go for hours. I could go for hours now, but I restrain myself. Yes. And I have. I, wisdom, live together with judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. Verse 13. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, now listen to what wisdom says here. Listen to this. I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. That's wisdom speaking. Insight and strength are mine. I mean, the wisdom of God will just give you some common sense. The wisdom of God will just give you some strength and insight into the situation, whatever you're facing. What is it that you're facing about your health, about your finances, about your family, where you're working? What are you dealing with? We're all, you know, we're in a fallen world. We're always dealing with something.
That's right.
You'll never have a perfect life. So I'm never going to have any, I'm going to have so much faith, I'll never have any problems. You're dreaming. That's a lie from the pit. I guarantee you, life is going to challenge you. The good news is, if I hear the voice of wisdom, every challenge that life throws at me, I can go get the... He says what? I'll help you discover the knowledge and the discernment to get through it. I'll show you how to survive and succeed. I'll show you how to get the insight and the strength through that common sense to get through it. That's what we need. Whatever you're facing, wisdom has the answer. Listen to the voice of wisdom when it calls out. Now, I'm going to take a little detour here, if I may, because I want to address something that the Lord dealt with me very clearly this week in a couple of situations when I was talking to some people, and he says, I felt very clear that he wanted me to bring this up tonight. I said, well, Lord, I want to make this a whole separate message. No, bring this up. He says, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. You know, as a parent, how many of you has ever sat down with your kids and said, now, honey, we're not supposed to say hate. We're not supposed to hate anything. God is love, and we're not supposed to say hate. Now, come on, you know, don't everybody raise their hand. But sometimes we say that, or we got that, we're told that as a kid, you know, no, honey, you're not supposed to hate anything. You're not, hate's a bad word. Do you know what? God actually hates a few things.
That's right.
He actually tells us that. He says, I hate pride. I hate arrogance. I hate corruption. I hate perverse speech. Perverse speech isn't cussing with four-letter words either. Perverse speech means twisting the truth to accommodate ourselves.
Yeah.
Jump back to Proverbs chapter 6 because he just got done saying this. Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 16. I know we tell kids sometimes, or we tell us, we should never use the word never hate, never hate, never hate. Biblically, that's not really true.
That's right.
There's certain things we should hate. I can give you a whole list of them. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 is this. These six things does the Lord hate. Wait a minute. The Lord hates certain things? Yeah. Even seven are an abomination to him. Here we go again. A proud look. Well, that's the same things back in chapter 8. A lying tongue. Oh, perverse speech. Hands that shed innocent blood. That could be corruption. An heart that devises wicked imaginations. That could be arrogance. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speak lies. Perverse speech. But listen to this last one. The seventh to him is an abomination. This is actually where I got into a conversation with somebody the other day, a minister friend of mine. He that sows discord among the brethren. We were dealing with some issues there with this minister, this pastor, and what's going on. And there's some discord going on in this particular church situation. And sometimes what happens is we think, well, we can't be that strong about it because, you know, we can't use the word hate or despise or we love. Yes, God is love. But God also hates a few things. Remember, hate is not the opposite of love. I say this all the time, and I still run into people saying this. Hate is not the opposite of love. Because if it was the opposite of love, then God's opposite himself. Because there's a number of things that he hates. Do you know he says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hate? Can you imagine God actually hating somebody? Oh, he can't hate anybody. It's quoted more than three times where God says, I hate Esau. Well, what does that represent? Does he hate him as a person? No, he hated Esau because Esau had a problem with pride and arrogance and corruption and perverse speech. Esau gave himself to all of these things. When the spirit of wisdom would speak to him, he rebuked it, he rejected it, he despised it. All the things that we are talking about here. And guess what? He ate the fruit of his own ways. Six things the Lord hates. Even seven are an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speak lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. God hates it. God hates it. So when we find ourselves even dabbling in any one of those, we better back off.
Amen.
We better listen to the voice of wisdom. Let's get back to Proverbs 8 and 9. I can't see the clock there. Oh, it is time to stop because I've been going for 4 hours. All right. Proverbs chapter 9. Let's wrap this up. Verse 1. I'm going to read to you in the message. Message gets a little kind of crazy here. Lady Wisdom is the way he pronounces it. Lady Wisdom has built and furnished her home. It's supported by seven hewn timbers. There's another whole message right there on those seven timbers. The banquet meal is ready to be served. Lamb roasted, wine poured out, table set with silver and flowers. Having dismissed her serving maids, Lady Wisdom goes to town. I love it. Stands in a prominent place and invites everyone within the sound of her voice. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Sounds like a commercial, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like an info commercial. Are you confused about life? You don't know what's going on? Call 1-800, you know. He says, come with me. Oh, come, have dinner with me. I have prepared a wonderful spread. Fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live and walk up the street to a life with meaning. That's wisdom speaking. Wisdom is speaking out. Are you confused about life? You don't know what's going on? Come with me. I'll show you. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up this street of life with meaning with me. Wisdom is calling out. Now, the reason the Amplified Bible back in chapter 8, verse 1, talked about the other woman is because the whole context through chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and Proverbs is constantly giving the contrast of the woman being wisdom and the other woman, the woman who is corrupt, the adulteress, the temptress. That is the world, in a sense, the voice of deception, the voice of our enemy, our adversary, the deceiver. Okay? Now listen to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. We're wrapping this up. A foolish woman is noisy. She is wanton and knows no shame. Then verse 16. Listen to this. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? Mm. It's exactly the same words. Mm. Steal off with me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life. But they don't know about all the skeletons in her closet that all her guests end up in hell. So, isn't it interesting that the voice of wisdom and the voice of deception use exactly the same terminology?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? One says, come on, steal off with me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life. See, when you've got to do something in secret and you're not willing to submit it for counsel, if you're not willing to put it under the light of the gospel and let God's Spirit shine on it, what do you think that is? The other woman. The voice of deception. Anytime you feel like you've got to hide it from somebody, anytime you feel like you can't talk about it out in the open where there's light, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Because all kinds of people have little secret things going on. They don't want anybody to know. Do you think there's anything the Spirit of God really doesn't know about you? He knows your thoughts. You can't get away with squat when it comes to Him. But see, that deceiver, come on, I'll steal off with me. I'll show you the time of your life. But what does wisdom say? Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? It's exactly the same words. He says, just Spirit of wisdom says, come with me. Come, have dinner with me. I've prepared a wonderful spread. Leave your impoverished confusion behind and live. Walk up the street of life with me, with me. I'm out in the open. I'm walking down the middle of the street with you. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what he's saying. The Spirit of wisdom is willing to get out there and say exactly what we need to hear. But when the Spirit of deception says, are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? They're exactly the same words. The difference is one is speaking from wisdom, the other one is speaking from deception. So we need to learn to listen to God's voice. Again, back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust God from the bottom of your heart, it says. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. I'm going to say that again. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. Pretty blunt. Father, we're just so thankful for that voice of wisdom.